Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right. Sorry to play musical chairs with you, but we're going to read the Bible. So as we do here, we like to stand to our feet. Everybody again. Sorry, dads. It's good exercise. This is called exercise, fathers. If you've got a Bible, go with me to Psalm 68. We're just going to read the first six verses there. You can read with me off the screen. Let's all read together. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Father, I thank you that we can call you Father. And so today we want to wish you a happy Father's Day and just declare that you are the model Father for us, God. And so, Lord, as you're raising us up as a church in this fatherless generation, Lord, that you would enable us not just as the males in this place and not just as especially as the married or the parental males in this house, but everybody in this church that claims to follow you, God, that we would go out and parent this generation the way that you've called us to. And so, God, we pray, Lord, for an open heaven. Lord, I want to move out of the way that we hear directly from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in this series called Re. The RE prefix usually means to reinstate back to its original purpose. And so today's title of the message is called Relate. Relate. And we're going to be looking at, and I want to dedicate this not just to the fathers, although fatherhood is definitely a theme for today, but I want to just really dedicate this to everybody in here who is a follower of Christ and sees that the two most prominent commandments that summarize the whole of Scripture speak of relationship. When we think about those two commandments, these are the commandments. If you want to sum the whole Bible up in terms of what it has for us, of course, the central figure of the Bible is Jesus Christ, but he embodies two main commandments. That's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, which speaks of our vertical relationship with God, and then to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So that speaks of how we should love one another. In fact, the two commandments that are actually one, they actually flow into one another. If you love God, you should love people. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is part of God and knows God. He or she who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So we can't say that we love God and not necessarily love people, because how we love one another is usually a reflection of how deep our love is for God. God reveals his nature to us as a father in this scripture that we've just read, Psalm 68. And I'm going to try and take you back to Genesis, because a lot of the original intent for humankind can be found in Genesis, which is, for those of you who aren't familiar, which is the first book of the Bible. So let's start from the beginning. I'm just going to give you these three outlined points with regards to the nature of God as father, and then see for ourselves how he challenges us towards these characteristics by his grace. First verse says, God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. Now, I want to just land on this verse for a little while. How many of you grew up in church and maybe heard the verse from the King James Version, which says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered? How many of you have heard that verse before? There is an aspect of the enemies of our lives being scattered when God is lifted up in worship and in praise. And our job is to make sure that he is elevated in our praise. And what does that look like? Does that mean that we have to carry a keyboard or a guitar everywhere we go and sing songs about God? No, it just means that he needs to be the ultimate priority in our lives. That when God is lifted up in every single area of our lives, then the enemy has no foothold to be able to take any point of being seated. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Think about this for a moment. And I mentioned this a little bit last week, that when you are anxious or when you are worried about something, what it generally says is that we have taken God off the throne. Not that that's actually possible, but like in our own hearts, in terms of our prioritization, we have said, God, you are not the king of this area. I am. And so when anxiety enters in, it means that we become stressed out because we are in control of a certain situation. And that's when anxiety begins to set in. How many of you have noticed within society today that there is a rise of anxiety and there is a rise of insecurity? Dare I say that it is completely parallel to the rise of godlessness in our society. That anxiety exists because God has no place to be seated. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 22, it says that he inhabits the praise of his people. Now we'll get into that word inhabits, which really just means to live in. But God is looking for a place to live in. He lives in the praises of his people. So when we say let God arise, it means let him arise to the top of the charts in every single area of your life. Is he a priority? The reason why we battle that anxiety is because he is not on the throne. But I'm here to tell you today that if you begin to trust God in every single area of your life, it's amazing how your life becomes an anxiety-free zone. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. And those who hate him shall flee before him. Check this out. It says, as smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. See, this is the nature of our God as Father. Let this be a challenge, not just to the fathers in the room, but especially to the men in the room, that God has given us the responsibility to lift him up and scatter the enemy. God is in the business of scattering enemies. He is an enemy scatterer. That when he learn to lift him up in our lives, when we learn to make him a priority, the enemy has to leave. It's like an old Clint Eastwood Western. This town ain't big enough for the both of us. And it's that way. It's that way with our lives. A lot of us become anxious with how people perceive who we are. Like we're checking on Instagram, making sure, oh, how many likes do I have on this photo? Oh, only 3. I posted it 3 days ago. Only 3 likes? And we get anxious about that stuff. Look, if God is on the throne, it doesn't matter who likes your photo, it matters who loves you. And as God, and if God is at the center of every single area of your life, there's no room for anxiety. I don't care how many likes you get on the photo. And you start comparing yourself. My photo is better than their photo. And how come they got 200 likes and I only got 3 likes? Nervous laughter. But it's real. This is the stuff we become anxious about in this generation. You see, there's a lot of room for the enemy, not just in social media, but in our lives in general, when the enemy has that foothold because God is not on the throne. How do we scatter the enemy? We arise. What does the arising look like? And on this part of the message, I want to speak to specifically the men in the room. It says here in Genesis chapter 3, now we're going back to the beginning, back to the original intent. Well, let me go back to Genesis 2. So I mentioned last week that God gave Adam, who was the first man, the responsibility or the job to be the first zoologist. He was naming all the animals. And the Bible says that there was no one who... there was not an animal that quite did it for him, right? And so God put him into a deep sleep, took his rib, and formed a woman. And then he was happy about that. So as they continued in their life together, God was specific. Even before Eve, the first woman, was created, God told Adam not to eat the fruit of a specific tree. You remember this, most of you? God told Adam, don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't even touch it. In chapter 3, we find Eve, the woman, is near the tree. And she is seduced by the serpent to partake of the fruit. She partakes of the fruit. And I want you to check this out. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired, to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, hubby, Schnuggelbunny, who was with her, and he ate. Now, I want to make this clear, right? The man was the one who took the command in the first place. Now, this is, I want to preface this by saying it's usual in church circles, all right? When it's Mother's Day, mothers get a lot of honor. Oh, we thank you for carrying us for 9 months. Then we play that Boys to Men song, Mama. I almost sang the Queen song, Just Killed a Man. No, not that one, the other one. You know, we honor moms. And then Father's Day, it's always like, where are the men of God? Rise up. You know, it's always like a rant on the men. This is not that message, because anything I do that way, it comes back to me too, right? But I do want you to notice this, brothers, all the men in the house, and you single men in the house too, you need to notice this. This is how God has created us, okay? We need to arise in this sense and declare that God is our priority. See, if the man was taking his position, and I want to be careful how I lace this. I'm not talking about positionally better, like man is better than woman, but man was the one who received the command at the time. Before the woman was created, you can read it in Genesis chapter 2, okay? He should have told her at least, hey, this is what God told us. And you even know, because you were talking to the serpent. He was just as guilty, if not even more guilty, because he was the one who received the commandment directly, but he didn't arise in that situation. And this became the beginning of the fall, when the men of God do not rise in how God has called us to lead our lives and to cover the sisters and to help the sisters to walk in everything that God has for them. And I'll break down a little bit more as to what that looks like. God has called us to arise, to take responsibility for the protection of God's exaltation in all of our households, in all of our cities. So when we read the news and we read the results of, you know, young people getting into trouble, the rise of drugs and the rise of crime in certain areas, I can tell you that there's a direct correlation to fatherlessness. And that's why I want to honor the brothers in here, the men in here who are taking responsibility. Even if you're single in here and you're taking responsibility, you're saying, you know what, not on my watch. I'm going to stand up for righteousness. I'm going to stand up for holiness. I'm going to make sure that I help to be a thermostat in the spirit that will conduct the spiritual temperature of the way that life is lived on this planet. What does it mean to arise? It means to arise in the position of authority, both men and women. God has given us authority, just like we read in Genesis 1 last week. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to just check out the podcast. That God has called us to arise in the position of authority, to be fruitful and multiply, to subdue the earth like waters that cover the sea. God has called us to rise with a position of authority, to serve and reign as sons and daughters of the living God, to represent him well. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5 calls us, if we're new and we're in Christ, just like the brothers and the sister that just got baptized, they are ambassadors now of Christ. They are ministers of reconciliation. God has called us to represent him well, position over the enemy, and also to arise in our relationship with God. Now, by that, I'm not saying get all weird about it. Like I said last week, it doesn't mean you go buy 4 more different colored "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets and wear them around, so like as if that is going to change the lives of people around them. When they see the bracelets, they're like, "Ah, my sin is melting." No, that's not going to be the case. Or putting a fish sticker on everything that operates around you. It's more than fish stickers and "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets. It's a life that's been transformed. It's a life that has arisen with integrity and not compromise. That's what it looks like to arise. That's what it looks like to arise. How about generosity? Man, I knew it was going to get quiet there, Henry. It's amazing how we love to preach with our mouth, but when it comes with our wallets and being generous to other people, like buying people lunch or just helping people out that need help, it's amazing how we just become silent and awkward with that. Well, many of you have heard me talk about the Australian haka. Can't find my wallet. Where did it go? I don't know. You know, it's amazing. Verse 3 says, but the righteous shall be glad. Oh, man. They shall exult before God, and they shall be jubilant with joy. God has called the Christian, the follower of Christ, and especially us as fathers, to bring the joy, to make sure that we're celebratory. This should be the most fun, most vibrant, most enjoyable place to be, not just on a Sunday morning, but around one another. This is Christianity. Being jubilant with joy. Check this out. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Some of you are like, I can't sing. It doesn't say sing in key. Just sing something. Even if it sounds like rapping. You know I'm lost without you. Where would I be without you? Without you. Look, as long as it's filled with joy, as long as it brings and reflects the joy that God has put in your heart as he arises in your praises, well, he's given us every reason to sing. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts and the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. So firstly, he's called us to be the enemy scatterers as we allow him to arise in our praises. But then secondly, men, and for all of us here, he's called us to be the guardians of joy. The guardians of joy. Protect the joy. This is a mark of maturity in Christianity, is the ability to be like spiritual Teflon, where you can't get offended. Oh my gosh, how easily offended the modern day Christian has become these days. Cryptic messages on Facebook statuses. Some of y'all are getting ready to post one right now. I heard from a certain four-eyed brown pastor that I'm not joyful. Hashtag not saying who it is. Hashtag the struggle is real. Oh, look at you and your persecution. It's funny, you know? It's funny how immature Christians, if I can go there, and this is why, you know, the unchurched just laugh at us, because we become so easily offended at things. Look, I'm not giving any license to the things that may have happened to you. But when you're in a situation like Psalm 100 verse 5 says, when you magnify the Lord by coming together, there is no room in your sight, even your peripheral, for you to get offended because the Lord is all up in your lens. There's no room for it. It's amazing how the tool of the enemy will always be isolation. Let me just pull you away from the people of God. Let me just pull you away where you're by yourself and you can sing your own worship songs there. All by myself. The whole soundtrack is Adele songs. You know why Adele sells so many records, right? It's because so many people battle this stuff and prefer to stay in isolation. Look, I love Adele. I think she's got the bomb voice, and this Adele's even better. But like, what I'm saying is, there's a reason why a lot of these singers sell so well is because people identify with the stuff they're singing about, but the songs just leave them right there in a place of joylessness. Welcome to the other side. No, it's the same side. You want to come to the other side where we're called to be guardians of joy. God wants to restore to you joy. It's not happiness, okay? Because I've been in some places where, you know, we mistake joy for happiness. It's like, come to our church. Wow, we welcome you. Like little Smeagles, you know, just real weird people, you know. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on happenings, what's happening in your life, right? But joy is founded on the rock of salvation, that no matter what storms come your way, you've still got a reason to praise. That's joy. That's why Paul would write from prison. He would write from prison to the church at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord when you're happy. No, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't get it, he goes on to say, and again I say, rejoice. See, there's the R-E prefix again. Because rejoice means to be joyful again. And again I say, be joyful again. So that's four joyful expressions. Well, what about David, the psalmist, who would write, I will bless the Lord when it's convenient? No, well, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be on my big psalm on lips. It will always be on my lips. I've got a reason to praise him because he's transformed me. This is not, look, this is not faking the emotion of joy, but this is an understanding as to how the gospel has transformed us. When you understand what Jesus has done for us, look, the New Testament prophetic symbol of joy is wine. That's why he would say, I'm pouring out new wine, and you better have new wineskin to carry this wine, because you're not going to be able to carry it with the old wineskin. And what he was doing was he was saying, no, the old wineskin is to try to perform your way into joy, into happiness. What he is saying, no, I laid my life down and literally had my skin pierced to be the new wineskin to carry that joy. And so when we do take communion here at church and we celebrate through the cup and the bread, usually a wafer and Ribena, but the symbol there is that he was broken, bread, body, so that we would receive joy through the outpouring of his blood, wine, Ribena. So as we partake of it, we are reminded of how he did everything that we need for that joy. And therefore, we should guard that joy. And we need to be ones who restore that joy in society wherever God has called us to be. How's your joy? How's your joy today? And again, I'm not talking about the fake emotion. And some of you are like, man. There's places in Westfield Mall, you can get like a Botox shot in your cheeks or something just to try and lift. No, I'm not talking about the fake emotion. See, because if we are, there's God has created us to be emotional beings, but not emotionally led. God's created us to be spirit-led. And if our spirit is full of the joy of the Lord, it will dictate our emotions in certain times of trials, tribulations. We will still worship the Lord at all times. Landing here. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Now, I talked about he inhabits the praises of his people. Now, notice this, okay? When we become the church who parent the parentless and protect widows, i.e., God is calling us to be a church that takes care of the vulnerable. God inhabits those places. I remember Bono in an interview at the Global Leadership Summit about 10 years ago, he said that God's heart beats the loudest amongst the broken. And it is so true. I'm not talking about here. I'm not talking about getting a romantic fixation to go on a short-term missions trip somewhere so that you can hear the heartbeat of God just for like 10 days or 12 days so that you can come back and oh, I heard it. Or you get, you're able to scratch that short-term missions itch. How about living life on mission all the time? Looking out for opportunities to take care of the broken around you. But here's the thing. It takes a generation of people to look past themselves and to look out for those who are broken, who are in need, who are around us in need of the restoration of the joy that's been afforded to us through the cross. Think of this. He is the father to the fatherless. The protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Now, I want you to catch this, all right? This is where I'm landing the whole message today on this Father's Day, is that he inhabits that sort of situation. But watch this. God settles the solitary in a home. Sounds like the church, right? Those who are out isolated in solitary areas where they're on their own trying to figure out what life is all about, we connect them to that purpose. We connect them to a place that they can call home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Here's the whole intent of the church, everybody. And let me just say this. If this is your only spiritual feeding for the whole week, you're in a very sad place. This is not the place for you to get sustained for the rest of the week. But the whole point of what we do here on a Sunday is to gather everybody, to remind them that this is where God dwells and this is how he intends for us to live out. I'm not just here just to feed you to get your Jesus fix for the rest of the 7 days. But what I'm here to encourage you with is that everything I've lined up before this should take place every day. What do I mean? We should be scattering enemies by the way we praise. Number two, guardian of joy. Okay, we're to arise in the joy and guard it. Okay, and then lastly, God has called us to be the protector of the vulnerable. Now, here's the whole intent of the church. Remember this. Number one, church is not the building that we meet in. This is Queensland Multicultural Center. I'm praying one day we'll have a building like this. Chris, we might buy this one day. But, you know, like, this, the church is not the building. You're the church, the people. And when we gather on a Sunday, my job as your pastor is to preach and teach the Word of God to guide you so that you have everything that you need to be missional and live out as the church from Monday to Saturday for the rest of the week. So that as you go, you can be the protectors of the vulnerable. We don't come to church. We are the church. And God has called us to be the protector of the vulnerable. And so let me go back to these verses here. Father of the fatherless, protector of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. And this is the sort of church we want to be, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want to be the sort of church that God visits. We want him to live here amongst us. And as long as we have his heart and his intention in the earth, here in Brisbane and across the globe, he will inhabit the praises of his people. And God settles the solitary in the home. There are people all around you, and I'm praying by the Spirit of God that he would reveal to you the people that are around you that are solitary, that don't know Jesus. How can you model Jesus for them? How can you be a light to them? But the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Look, there are going to be some people that reject the message of the gospel. But the Bible goes on to talk about that when they reject the message of the gospel, they're not rejecting you. Remember, as disciples, as we grow in our maturity, we become unoffendable. We're like, no, God, I'm just choosing to represent you. And if they choose to rebel and they choose, then they will dwell in that parched land. But my prayer is that everybody who dwells in a parched land around me would come to know the joy that I have in Christ. So this is where I land this message. And I want to challenge everybody in here that is a follower of Christ with this question. How is your joy? Are you at a place where the joy of the Lord is your strength? Are you at a place where the understanding of this message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, when although we totally did not deserve it, he created us with the intention of relationship with him, but because of our sin, because of being far apart from the way he intended us to live, we have walked apart from him. But today he is reintroducing himself to us. And he's saying, I need to be the center of your life. I should be the center of your life. You don't need to walk around in anxiety anymore. You don't need to walk around in fear anymore, because the Bible promises you that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And for some of us in this room, it's been a while since our minds have been sound. I'm not saying you're crazy, but I'm saying your mind has been like tormented with anxiety and fear and insecurity, and it's been bothering you. I'm here to tell you today that if God inhabits your praises, if God is the priority in your life, you just watch that anxiety melt away like wax next to fire. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. And that goes for those of you who are in this room that are followers of Christ, and those of you who are in this room, maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe this is the first time you're hearing this sort of message from a long time. I'm here to tell you today that God also wants to rid of anxiety in your life, rid of fear in your life. If you'll just hand your life over to the one who created it in the first place and stop trying to drive this life yourself, it's amazing that by his grace, he will save you. He will deliver you. He will help you. He will take every bit of anxiety he already has at the cross. He will take every bit of anxiety and call it and cause it to dissipate in the name of Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.